On back there, I was tempted to start singing along with you. That wouldn't have been good. Amen. Take your Bibles, please, and turn with us to Leviticus, the 27th chapter, Leviticus. And please stand in reverence to the reading of God's Word. Let's begin reading at verse number 30. And all the tithe of the land, whether of the seed of the land or of the fruit of the tree, is the Lord's. It is holy unto the Lord. And if a man will at all redeem aught of his tithes, he shall add thereunto the fifth part thereof. And concerning the tithe of the herd, or of the flock, even of whatsoever passes under the rod, the tenth shall be holy unto the Lord. He shall not search whether it be good or bad, whether neither shall he change it. And if he change it at all, then both it and the change thereof shall be holy. It shall not be redeemed. These are the commandments which the Lord commanded Moses for the children of Israel in Mount Sinai. Let's pray. Father, again today, thanking you for your wonderful grace. Just thank you, Father, for sending your wonderful Son, the Lord Jesus, to die for our sins. Lord, we are so undeserving, but because of your great love, you gave your Son that we might have eternal life. And now, Father, tonight, we know we can depend upon you. Your grace is sufficient. And, Lord, we need you. We need your power, your wisdom. This preacher needs you tonight. And I ask you to help us to just learn some things tonight from the Bible. We'll thank you for it in the lovely name of Jesus. Amen. You may be seated. Tonight, we're going to continue our series on treasures. This is the eighth sermon on treasures, and we have one more. We'll finish that, Lord willing, next Wednesday night. Tonight, we've come to the place where we're going to preach on the subject, treasures in tithing. Please don't everybody leave. Please stick with us. Amen. You know, tithing a lot of times is a word that puts fear and trepidation in people's heart, but it shouldn't be. It's a wonderful thing, and I believe there's really wonderful treasures in tithing. And I believe that with all my heart. And I tonight want to kind of help you to understand. You may already understand everything I'm going to talk about. But you may be newer in the faith. Maybe you don't understand it all. And so I hope it'll be a help and encouragement to you, and also an encouragement to those who already know, but just encouraged in the Word tonight. Tithing is like I say, I believe, a blessing. I believe it's a treasure. I still remember, I've told you this before, but I remember soon after we were saved, and I don't remember the time frame. But it was after we were saved that Donna and I, we sat down one day and I said, honey, that preacher is preaching that we should tithe. Now, a tithe is a tenth. Everybody understands that. A tithe is a tenth. In other words, God expects us to have give a tenth in a tithe back to him of how he has prospered us. And so we was sitting talking about this, and I remember her very vividly saying, you know, Bob, I don't know how in the world we could do it, because we was up, in debt, and we was a mess. And I said, no, but I said, you know, we've learned that the Bible's the Word of God, and if he says to do it, that's what we should do. And so we began, and I still remember that first time. It was just, my hand was sweaty. I had that in my hand, you know, but it was a wonderful feeling. And the offering plate come by, and I dropped it in there, you know. And I tell you the truth, I just felt so good. I really did. It was a wonderful, wonderful feeling to do that. And I think the reason I was being obedient to the Lord. And anyway, it's a marvelous thing. It's something that every Christian should do. Now, let me share something with you. There's a misnomer a lot of times on I hear people say, well, so and so don't make very much, or so and so's a widow, or whatever. I understand that, but that does not remove us from tithing. We are to tithe no matter what we make. Now, we won't tithe as much. Someone who makes $100 a week, a tithe is $10 a week. Someone makes $1,000, well, that's $100. So we know there's going to be a difference in the amount we tithe, but no matter how much we make, we should tithe and give offerings. I'm basically talking about tithing. I think that's the place kind of where we start. We learn how to tithe. And after that, we learn that God wants us to give offerings also. So a tithe is a right thing no matter who you are, no matter how much you make. I would caution you, and I'm sure you teach your children correctly, but I would be very careful whenever you give your child a dollar or whatever it might be, if they would make a dollar by working or something, teach them that a dime of that goes into the offering plate because that's a tithe. And you, if you'll teach them at an early age, you'll find out that they'll probably be tithers for a lifetime. Okay, and it's good to teach them. Be careful just flipping them a quarter and say, here, you can put that in the offering. Teach them why they're putting it in the offering, that it's a privilege to put money in the offering. Teach them about that, you see. So a tithe is a proper thing. Martin Luther said this, I have held many things in my hands, and I have lost them all. But whatsoever I have placed in God's hand, that I still possess. And I think that's a great statement. I think that's true. Most of the things that we have, we'll lose it somewhere down the road. It'll go by the wayside. But something we place in heaven as treasures in heaven, laying up treasures in heaven, will be there forever. And we'll never, ever lose them. Sam Houston, which most of you have heard of Sam Houston, he was a colorful character. He was a soldier and a politician. He came to Christ. He got saved. And here's what he said. He went to the church where he was attending. And he said, I want to pay half of the preacher's salary. I just want to do that. And they said, well, why would you want to do that? And he said, well, when I got saved and baptized, he said, my pocketbook did too. And he said, I just feel like that's what I should do. I believe that's true. I believe, you know, when we get saved, we really have a heart about it. We want to give. We may have not always know all the principles of giving and what we should do and all of that. I didn't either when I first got saved. But once you learn it, there's a desire in your heart to give. I've found it that way, and I think you have too. Not only then just a tithe, but God wants us to give tithes and offerings. And and I think each man has to kind of work that out in his own heart of what God wants him to give. But in the portion of Scripture, I want to read in Leviticus, the 27th chapter, I want to read verse 14 through 16, and then we'll start there. He says, and when a man shall sanctify his house to be holy unto the Lord, then the priest shall estimate it, whether it be good or bad. As the priest shall estimate it, so shall it stand. When it talks about sanctifying something, he's taken his house and he said, I want to sanctify this. In other words, I want to set it aside unto the Lord. He wanted to give his house unto the Lord. That's what he's saying. He wanted to sanctify it. He wanted to give it. And he says, and if he that sanctify it will redeem his house, then he shall add the fifth part of the money of thy estimation unto it, and it shall be his. Now, again, what he's saying here is this. Someone gets it on their heart. I'm sure you have done that before, maybe not a house, but there's things that you have said, I just want to give extra to the Lord. I want to give a gift. I want to do this. And he wanted to give his house. Now, he said, if you want to redeem that back, if the man would say, I'd really like to keep my house. And let's say the house was worth $50,000. He would give $50,000 instead of the house, but he would add a fifth to it. Read it. He would add a fifth to it. In other words, it would be $10,000. He would have to add to that, so he'd be given the work of God $60,000. Do you understand that? That's what he's saying. And then he goes on to say, and if a man shall sanctify unto the Lord some part of a field or his possession, then thy estimation shall be according to the seed thereof. And an omer of barley seed shall be valued at 50 shekels of silver. He said, well, some man says, you know, I want to give whatever my a certain part of my field, let's say he has a 50-acre field, and he said, I want to give 10 acres of that unto the Lord. And I want to give it unto him, whatever comes off of that. And the priest would estimate what that would be, and he would give that. Like I say, I know you maybe have not given the land like that, or maybe the house like that, but I'm sure most Christians here that's been Christians for a while, there have been times that God has said, I want you to give this. I want you to do this. I want you to do this extra. And that's a right and proper thing. But the reason I'm stressing this, that's something that you decide. We're not talking about a tithe. We're talking about something that you have laid upon your heart, and you say, I want to give this. I want to do this extra. That's not something you have to do. God didn't say you had to do it. We'll give another illustration down the road here. But God didn't say you had to do it. It was something you chose to do. It was in your heart. You wanted to do that. But a tithe is different. A tithe belongs to God. See, it's not yours to decide what to do with it.
Amen.
You understand what I'm saying? It belongs to the Lord. Now look down at the scripture in verse 30. He says, and all the tithe of the land, whether of the seed of the land or of the fruit of the tree, is the Lord's. And it is holy unto the Lord. He says, you don't have to make a decision on whether you want to give this or not. It's God's. You really have no choice if you're going to follow the scriptures. You have no choice. Why? It's holy unto the Lord. Okay? Now, whether you understand this or not, what I'm teaching tonight will help you and be a blessing to you more than you can imagine. Down through the years, as we have learned how to give, not only tithes, but offerings, I would say to Donna many times, I say, honey, we're just securing our future. And you are. You see, a lot of people think, well, you know, it's just somebody wants this and that. No, you're securing your future. And if I could tell you story after story from this pulpit, my wife and I, how that God has so blessed, you know, not because we are deserving, because we was obedient to his word. We did what God said to do. And that's what I want for you. I want you to be blessed. I want God to be able to just richly return unto you and take care of you. And that doesn't necessarily mean you're going to be rich, but you will be cared for.
Amen.
You will be cared for. God has promised that. Amen? You can't outgive him. I know you've heard that, but you can't outgive God. God won't allow that. Okay, and he will take care of you. Now he says in verse 31, and a man will at all redeem aught of his tithes, he shall add thereunto the fifth part thereof. He said if a man does take his tithes and don't use it for that and does not give it unto the Lord as he's supposed to do, he said then he needs to give a fifth more when he does pay the tithe. He didn't say you can just get by with not paying them. He said, when you do pay it, you're to pay another fifth. That's what he was telling the Israelites. Okay? So, you know, we think we can just get by with not giving God that which is his. But really, we don't. And Malachi certainly proves that. We don't really get by with that. Understand what I'm saying? So it's a right and proper thing. Then he says, and concerning the tithe of the herd or of the flock, even of whatsoever passes under the rod, the tenth shall be holy unto the Lord. And he shall not search whether it be good or bad, neither shall he change it. And if he change it at all, then both it and the change thereof shall be holy. It shall not be redeemed. See, he says, and I've done some reading on this, and they used to, they tell me, would as the owner would let his new flock, he didn't bring the old flock each time, but the new lambs, all of that was new that God had prospered. See, it's, God don't expect you to go, once you've tithed on that money, to go back and get the money out again. Say, I got to tithe on that again. But as God prospers you, you are to tithe and give, amen, offerings on it. So what they would do is said the owner would stand up here and he'd have a long stick and he'd have some kind of a rag on it, some kind of a thing, and had some red dye on it. And they'd count down and they'd get to the 10th one and he would take that red dye and daub it on him and it was a permanent dye and it would be on there and it would be the Lord's. Now the Lord's would go to the Levite tribe. You know, God didn't just suck it up into heaven. He gave it to the Levite tribe. Amen? That's what he done with it. And every 10th one, there would be a red blotch of dye on it. It would be marked, that belongs to the Lord. Now God is telling us that the 10th belongs to him. And to some degree, it has a red dye on it. It shouldn't be found in our possession. If that animal was found in the possession of him who owned it, that was bad business. Because that was the Lord's. No, that was to go to the Levite tribe. Amen. So he even says, and you're not to change it. In other words, along comes a little scrawny calf, and he's number 9. Here comes a big old bull-like calf that's just good shape. And he says, wait a minute. I want to make this little scrawny thing number 10. I'm going to change it. That's what he talked about. I'm going to change it. And he said, if you do that, he says, both of them belong to the Lord. That's what he said. See, both of them become holy. So, you know, you're not to fool around with God's word. You're just to do what he says. The providence of God, I believe, kept the 10th one probably pretty good shape. I think that's probably the way God done it. But anyway, you're to do that. Well, you see, God is telling us the same thing. And I know, listen to me, I know if you're hurting for money, you don't know what to do, and all of those things, you say, how in the world could I do that? All I can say is to you, just do it. And then it's on God's shoulder to take care of you. Okay? And remember, again, we'll go back a little bit to managing that which God has already given you. I've had people tell me for years and years, oh, Brother Ross, I needed this and I didn't get it. And God didn't give it to me. Well, the problem was they spent ahead of time what God had already given them. See, we could do that. We spend it, and then we say, where's that, God? We spend it on something that we should not have spent it on. And then we say, well, God, why didn't you take care of us? Well, he has taken care of us. You see, he don't go against his word, and he always takes care of us. Amen? So tithing is a right and proper thing. I've also heard people say tithing is going back to the law. Certainly that is not true. I'm not going to have time to go over all of the scriptures, but if you go back to Genesis, the 14th chapter of Genesis, and you find Abraham giving tithe to Melchizedek. That was way before the law was ever instituted. You go back to, I believe it's Genesis, the 28th chapter, and you find where Jacob promised that whatever God gave him, he would give him a tenth. So that's a tithe. Okay? Now that's way before the law ever come into being. Okay? So it's not law, it's simply scripture. I don't know, when you go back into the book of Genesis, I'm not sure how Cain knew and Abel knew that they were supposed to bring a blood sacrifice, but they did. They knew it. And, you know, Cain didn't say to God, well, you didn't tell me. He knew better. You see, God gave instructions, and I'm sure to Adam, from the very beginning about the blood sacrifice after their sin. I'm sure of that. Well, God had done the same thing in Abraham and Jacob concerning tithing. They knew that tithing was a right and proper thing, okay? And it was not just the law. I want to go with me, please, over to 1 Corinthians. The ninth chapter. Said, who goeth warfare any time at his own charges? Who planteth a vineyard, and this is verse 7, and eateth not of the fruit thereof? Or who feedeth a flock and eateth not of the milk of the flock? Say I these things as a man, or saith not the law the same also? For it is written in the law of Moses, thou shalt not muzzle the mouth of the ox that treadeth out the corn. Doth God take care for oxen? Or saith he it altogether for our sakes? For our sakes, no doubt, this is written, that he that ploweth should plow in hope, and that he that thresheth in hope should be partakers of his hope. If we have sown unto you spiritual things, it is a great thing if we shall reap your carnal things. If others be partakers of this power over you, are not we rather? Nevertheless, we have not used this power, but suffer all things, lest we should hinder the gospel of Christ. Do we not know that they which minister about holy things live of the things of the temple? And they which wait at the altar are partakers with the altar. Even so hath the Lord ordained that they which preach the gospel should live of the gospel. Now, folks, there's a truth. And I think that I would say that most of the people in this room understand that truth. I think you do. You understand it. You've been taught for years concerning that. That it's the responsibility of the church through tithes and offerings to take care of their preacher, to take care of their pastor. That's a right and proper thing. And I don't think that most of you will have any trouble with that if you understand and know the scriptures. God said if they preach the gospel, they should live of the gospel. Amen. So when you take care of your pastor, Pastor Jerry, you're doing right, you're doing proper, because that's what the Word of God says to do. It's just like when the tenth went to the Levites did not have an inheritance. They had none. And so the tenth from all the other people went to the Levites to take care of them. Might give you an illustration back when the Puritans in the early days of this country, the Puritans, when they would move into a new land, a new area. Now, I'm not saying we ought to do just like the Puritan done, but they knew that they must take care of their preacher. What they would do, they move into an area, they would go and they would purchase a farm or land for the preacher. Not only would they purchase it for him, they would do all the work on it. They would put the crops out and they would harvest the crops. You say, why did they do that? Because they had an understanding of something. If the preacher was not free to do the spiritual work, there was going to be real trouble. He had to be free to take care of the spiritual needs of the people. They understood that. So what did they do? They took care of his carnal needs. Okay? You understand what I'm saying? See, that's proper. That's right. It's what they should do. I've got a church now, not the one in Evansville that we've been helping. Them folk down there's got a sweetheart, good heart, about giving, take care of their pastor. I know what they're going to pay their pastor. I know what they have paid him, and it's a good salary. It's a good thing, good package. They're right in what they're doing. But I've got another church that I give advice to and help to, and they're cheapskates, and they want God to bless them, and they won't take care of their pastor. You're not going to win that. They're not going to win. And over years, I can prove they never won it, because the church has had problems and troubles and has never prospered whatsoever. Never. All of these years, and I mean it's been a lot of years, they've not prospered, and they've just robbed the pastor. Let me tell you something. They have $38,000 in the bank in CDs right now, and they're paying their pastor $275 a week. Well, it's a shame. Yes, sir. Thank you. And it is. It's a shame. It's terrible. You understand? You understand what I'm saying? That's terrible. And you'll never prosper. You never will. If you want to prosper as a church, you're going to have to take care of the man of God who is teaching the Word of God to you, communicating unto you the Word of God. Okay? So that's important. So how do we do that? Well, we do that through tithes and offerings. You know, and I believe, I don't know each one of you, but I've always found when I was pastoring here, we had a good giving group. I think they learned over the years, and they was a good, and I think most of you give good. But if you don't, you ought to learn how to give. And listen, the tithing is not the ceiling. Tithing is the floor. Okay? So we go after that, after our tithing, we give offerings. You say, well, Brother Ross, what, you know, because God wants to bless you. I can just tell you, folks, I can tell you a testimony that God has so blessed since we was obedient. I'm not talking about being rich. This preacher isn't rich. But God has so blessed and taken care of needs that we have in our life. And in fact, many times, abundantly more. Now, why did he do that? I believe because we was obedient to his word.
Amen.
We just did what he said. And I think you that have been practicing that find that out too. God has blessed you. Amen. Because you've been obedient to the word. I'm not going to probably go into a long, lengthy thing here, but it's important. Abraham, whether I hope you understand, Abraham is our spiritual father. The Bible tells us in the book of Romans, he said, and he called Abraham the father of all. Now, when you go back, Abraham was the father of faith. He said he believed God and it was counted unto him for righteousness. Amen. I'm not a Jew, but I'm a descendant of Abraham concerning my faith. I wish we had time. You go back to the book of Romans, read the whole chapter 4 of the book of Romans, and just read that sometime, and just you'll understand that we are descendants. The word posterity means from me on, or from Abraham on. And he's not my ancestors. My daddy is not my posterity. I was his. So posterity is from here on. Abraham became the man of faith. And from then on, everyone that's come to Christ is in his lineage spiritually. Okay? You understand that? See, Abraham gave tithes to Melchizedek. Melchizedek, over the book of Hebrews, it tells us that he had neither mother or father or beginning or end. Now, let me just say something to you. I know some people believe that that was a manifestation of Jesus Christ, Melchizedek was. I have no problem with them believing that. But let me just say also, if it was not a manifestation, because it does say in the scriptures, likened unto the Son of God. Likened unto the Son of God. God did not pin down his mother and daddy's name. He did not pin down when he was born or when he died. All of that was left out so he could be a type of the Lord Jesus Christ. Are you getting this? He was a type of the Lord Jesus Christ. And so when he gave tithes unto Melchizedek, he was giving, it was a picture of him giving tithes unto God. Okay? You understand? So we are his spiritual heirs. We are his descendants, of by faith. So what do we do? We too give tithes. The Bible says in Hebrews that I think it was Levi was in the loins of Abraham when he gave tithes to Melchizedek. Amen? Sure. And so, in other words, it even says that Levi gave tithes. How did he do it? Through Abraham, his great-grandfather. Okay? So I'm simply saying to you folks, this thing on tithing passes down from Abraham. Okay? We are his posterity. Everyone that comes to Christ is a part of his lineage spiritually, because we come by faith. We come by faith. That's the only way we can come. And so did Abraham come by faith. So Abraham paid tithe to Melchizedek, and we are his spiritual descendants, and we are to pay tithes. All right? It's a right and proper thing. Folks, if this preacher could help you in any way, I would tell you, I understand, I've been there, and I know, and I've preached to multitudes of people since then and tried to help them. If you just grab a hold of this and say, like I did years and years ago, the Bible says it, I'm going to do it. Amen. You see, that's what you need to do. Why? Because the blessings of God will be upon you. We didn't have any idea. We was never taught. Not blaming anybody, I'm just saying that's the way it was. We wasn't taught. And I didn't know about those things. But when we did learn, we began to then change our way of living and change the way that we not only gave to God, but the way we spent the money that God gave us. Pastor Jerry taught on the financial things here for 4 weeks. And I just want to say something to you. You may be in a mess financially. I don't know where you are. You may not be in too bad a mess. I don't know. But I know this. You can do right. You can get out of it if you'll mind God. It took Donna and I think around 5 years. We had a 5-year program that we got out of debt. Can it happen? Yes, it can happen. But you have to want to do it. And you have to be willing to do it. And you have to curb your spending. You have to quit spending on things that you need not spend for, just for the very necessities. And most people do not want to sacrifice that. They're not willing to do that. But it can be done. You can get out of debt. And you don't get out of debt by not tithing.
Amen.
That doesn't work. See, you must tithe. Okay? I'm telling you from experience. Okay? What you decide to do with it, you'll decide. Not I. But I'm saying to you, you need to tithe because it's right. It's scripturally absolutely right. Now, there's other things, as I said earlier. And let me give you an illustration, first of all. You remember back when at Jericho, the Battle of Jericho, when God had told them to not take anything from there, not to redeem anything out of there, you know, not to take gold or silver or garments or anything. And you remember a man by the name of Achan, which did that. Now, why was he wrong? He had no choice. That was already devoted, and the Bible speaks of that back in the 27th chapter of Leviticus. It was already devoted to the Lord. It was already God's, because God had said, you don't bother that. You don't take anything from Jericho. It was not a choice where you'd say, well, I can do it or not. No. That was already God's. And it belonged to him. And he took it. And of course, you know, he ended up losing his life and his family and all of that. Another thing, when Saul, the Amalekites, Saul was supposed to and given instruction by Samuel to go and kill all the Amalekites, not to spare one of them. And God had ordered it. And he said, don't you spare any of them. Don't you spare any of the people, and don't spare any of the herds, any of that. Well, we know that Saul went, and some of the people helped talk him into it. They saved a bunch of the sheep and the oxen and the better ones, the good ones. Amen. And King Agag, they saved him. Well, you see, they had no right to do that. You say, Brother Ross, why? Because it was already God's. He had already commanded that it not be redeemed or taken. God had said that. So it belonged to the Lord. It was his. It was the first fruits, if you want to look at it, the first fruits when they crossed the Jordan. It was the first fruits, and it belonged to God. And they took it, and of course, a great tragedy because of that. Now, again, we could look at something into the New Testament, Ananias and Sapphira. You remember, they lied to the Holy Ghost. They sold their property and brought it over and laid it down in front of the apostles' feet there and said they had given all of it. They lied. But you know, Peter said to them, said, you know what? It was yours. It was your choice. You didn't have to do that. He said, it was in your power. You could have done with it whatever you wanted to do with it. See, that's the difference between tithes and gifts, like we've been talking about. Tithe is not yours. It doesn't belong to you or me. Amen? It's God's. It's already something that is laid aside, that is devoted unto the Lord. It is His. Now, I believe something, and I'm not trying to put a guilt trip on anyone, but imagine right now, just imagine, standing before the Lord, having robbed Him of tithes. Now, just imagine that. You think He's going to say, oh, well, that was just Him. No, sir. It belonged to Him. It was His. You see, Jesus, when He come, He raised the spiritual bar. I won't go over there, but the fifth chapter of Matthew. You remember when He talked about adultery? And he said if a man commits adultery, it's a terrible act, and he would be judged for that. And all. But He said, I'm saying to you, if you even do it in your heart, think about it, in your heart. He said, it's as though you've already committed it. See, He raised the spiritual bar. You understand what I'm saying? So we, you know, to say that God don't care if we tithe or not. No. He's already commanded that. He's already, that's His. It isn't ours. Now I want to say to the young people here, I don't know your situation. I don't know what you're doing. I don't know how you give and all that. But boy, if you're not tithing and giving offerings, start early. Start early in life, and you'll be a tither for the rest of your life, because you'll see the blessings of God upon your life. But more than that, you'll simply know it's right to do because God said it is. Do you think for one moment that God would, under grace, would have us give less than He demanded under law? Do you think so? No way. You see, and so I'm saying to you, the best thing that you can do is tithe, because it's right, it's scriptural. I want to give you some research numbers. There's a group that does research. It's called Barna Research. And back in 2001, that's the newest figures I have, they said American Christians give an average of 2 to 3% of their income. Now that was an average. 2 to 3%. They're talking about Christians. They're not talking about the lost. They're talking about Christians. And then he says also, among born again adults, 44% rise in those who gave nothing compared to 1999. 44% rise. They didn't give anything. Per capita donation to churches dropped by 19% in 2000. One-third of born-again adults said they tithe in 2000, but a comparison of their actual giving and household incomes revealed that only approximately an eighth of them did. Okay? See, Pastor Ross, don't know whether you tithe. I don't know that. Don't need to know. None of my business. But I'm telling you, it's the thing you ought to do. If you're not tithing, you should get it started now. Back, Charles English can confirm this. But years when we sold our place to Brother Dave Liffick and Sister Liffick outside of town here, we had never had a lot of money to give extra. We just didn't have it. I had tithe, but I give a pretty good gift to the church because I felt, I don't know whether it was guilty or whether I just wanted to do it. We just wanted to do it. And we gave a pretty good size offering to the church because we had never had a chance to do that before. I like giving. I just like giving. I really do. And I think it's something, folks, that you'll enjoy if you just start doing it. Amen. And maybe you already are, but I'm just simply saying we need to do that. You see, as I said earlier, don't view tithing as a place to stop. It's the floor, not the ceiling. That's just the starting place. Amen. Malachi, the third chapter, and I want to just go back there a few moments. I know you're familiar with it, but let's go back there just for a few moments. Verse number 7, third chapter of Malachi, that's the last book in the Old Testament. Even from the days of your father, you are gone away from mine ordinances and have not kept them. Return unto me, and I will return unto you, saith the Lord of hosts. But ye said, wherein shall we return? And then it's the question, will a man rob God? Yet ye have robbed me. But ye say, wherein have we robbed thee? And he said, in tithes and in offering. And he said, ye are cursed with a curse, for ye have robbed me, even this whole nation. Bring ye all the tithes into the storehouse, that there may be meat in mine house. And prove me now herewith, saith the Lord of hosts, if I will not open you the windows of heaven, and pour you out a blessing, that there shall not be room enough to receive it. Now listen to what he says. And I will rebuke the devourer for your sake, and he shall not destroy the fruits of your ground, neither shall your vine cast her fruit before the time of the field, saith the Lord of hosts. What he's simply saying, you're familiar with this portion of Scripture, Israel robbed God because, and God made it very plain, how did he rob them? Tithes and offerings. They rob God. And God says, if you'll get that straightened out and do right, he said, I'll rebuke the devourer. Now, I want to tell you something. Along the line somewhere, if you don't tithe, the devourer is turned loose. Well, yes, it is. Sure it is. Because you see, one way or another, you're not going to enjoy that which you have stole from God. So the devourers turn loose. There's multitudes of things that can go wrong. You know, we all know things break down. We all know that. And we have to replace them. That's just part of life. But I want to tell you, God has a way of sending the devourer to those who do not tithe. He just does. Understand me? And that's not what God wants to do, but that's what he will do. He said they'd walked away from God because they had stole his tithes and his offerings. They belonged to the Lord. Now, the best thing to do would be just to give, just to do right what the scripture said. I think to give less than what God expects is to rob God. When he's made it plain in his scripture what we're to do, that's robbing God when we don't do it. Amen. Now, you say to me, Brother Ross, I'll tell you what I'm going to do. I think I'll start slow. I think I'll start with 5%. That's like saying that last year I robbed 6 banks. And this year I have, by the grace of God, I'm only going to rob 3. See, we're trying to get you not to rob God less, we're trying to get you to not rob him at all. Understand? Amen. See, you don't want to rob God. I don't believe there's a person here say, I really want to rob God. I don't know whether it's because of lack of understanding in the scriptures. I don't know. I really don't know. But I know there's people, according to that research, a lot of people that don't tithe that calls themselves Christians. See, if you'd only get a hold of and understand it, if you just understand, mind God, and He will see to your needs. Yes, He will. I'm a living proof of it. Amen? So tithing, please, please. If you're not tithing, start tithing. Start just as soon as you can. Start this Sunday and just tithe. You say, I can't afford it. You can't afford not to. No, you can't afford not to. Amen. How's things going? How's life treating you? How's your finances? You understand what I'm saying? How's it going? Well, I'll tell you one thing. God expects you to tithe because the Word says so. But I think a man would be quite a fool if he didn't because of his own well-being.
Amen.
Amen? Just mind God and do what He says. And He's a wonderful God. And He set out the Scriptures. He's told us what to do, how to give. And when you get to tithing, don't stop there. Just give. Amen. Give as God lays upon your heart to give. And what a blessing it is. Let's pray. Father, again, I thank You today for the grace of God, Your goodness, Your kindness to us. Trust that this has been a help and a blessing to the people here. Lord, encourage those who are already tithing, doing right in their giving. And Father, help those who are maybe having difficulty with this, problem with it. Father, help them to just learn the truth and just mind You. We'll thank You in Jesus' name. Amen.